And good evening and welcome to another edition of the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. With former Mosinee head football coach, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Hall of Famer, and Mosinee Athletic Hall of Famer Paul Davinsky, I'm Chad Holmes. Coming up, we're going to look back at week 7 of the high school football season, look ahead to week 8, plus special guests. Coming up at 6:40, we'll be joined by the head football coach of Mosinee High School, Kyle Stoffel, as Mosinee getting set for a great Northern Conference showdown against Medford on Friday night. And then at 7:06, our student athlete guest for this week, a young man that has been outstanding all season long for Wausau West. 7 consecutive 100-plus yard rushing performances, multiple 200-yard rushing performances, closing in on the single season rushing mark and the all-purpose yard mark for Wausau West, their junior running back and defensive back, Ray Reinick.
Who I'm calling Iron Man.
Yeah,
he's an Iron Man.
Yeah, and he's done it on both sides of the football.
Oh,
and he's a great kickoff returner as well.
I know. He's tough.
I think he's 138 yards away from breaking the single-season rushing mark, and he's less than 40 yards away from the all-purpose yards mark, including his kickoff return. So we'll talk to Ray Reinick. He's also a terrific hockey player as well. So
yeah, I knew that.
Lot to talk about with him later on. He is Paul Davinsky, and week number 8 of the season. I think today will be the final really warm day. We're going to get some football weather, and it's going to be some big games this week.
Well, we don't talk about it a lot, Chad, but the cold, they're talking snow flurries up north Friday. I mean, they're talking high of 45 degrees. And if you're not prepared for it, Friday could be a lot of turnovers. You know, and so you may think I'm crazy and everything, but...
Yeah, I know you're crazy.
Well, we used to constantly, it'd be 50 degrees out and we'd be spraying the ball with water and putting ice on the ball. Just to get the kids ready
because
if you don't look at the weather, you know, you got to break the jackets out. You got to be telling kids, hey, you're going to be playing possibly with a sweatshirt and stuff like that. You need to start practicing with that.
And the thing about it is we're not used to it. I mean, it's because we've had warm weather and all of a sudden tomorrow afternoon it's going to go down into the 40s.
And you know some people adjust to it and others do not.
Right. You need a little time.
And it could be that it could be a factor in determining. We've got some key conference championship games coming up.
Let's talk about last week's action, week number 7 of the high school football season. Some big games in the Valley Football Association, and the biggest one occurred in Marshfield. And the Wisconsin Rapids Red Raiders, they rallied past Marshfield 24-21, a 10-0 fourth quarter for Rapids. A 19-yard field goal with 4 seconds left in the game wins it. Leo Brostowitz, after a couple of un-Leo-like performances the previous 2 weeks, he came back, and he came back with a vengeance. Huge night for Brostowitz. 25 rushes, 211 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jeff Marsh had 12 carries, 74 yards for Marshfield. Trevor Femmel, 10 rushes, 73 yards. And Wisconsin Rapids moves themselves and Wausau West into a first-place tie in the conference with a huge win on the road.
Well, it's deja vu almost. Just get rid of Spash and put Marshfield in there.
Right.
I think the Beast Leo is healthy now. I think he had gone through some issues. And I mean, he's still a fantastic running back. But... boy, this was Marshfield's game to win. Going in the fourth, they had everything going for them. And Rapids just, wow, they came out of nowhere. I mean, you know, 10 points, and Brostowitz got a lot of yards, and they moved the ball. And then the defense played good. I mean, this was a gut check for Rapids, and they stepped up big time. And Wausau West probably was just ecstatic when you heard that score.
Absolutely. So Rapids 4-1 in the Valley Football Association, Marshfield 4-1, and Wausau West is 4-1. Warriors win in Appleton against Appleton West 40-21. Our guest this week, Ray Reinick, 23 rushes, 226 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Caleb Tooley, he has been a tackling machine for West this season. He had 17 tackles in the game for the Warriors. Wausau West did what they needed to do. It was, not pretty at times, but in the end, they get the win, and all of a sudden, it is, again, like you said, like last year, a three-way tie atop the league standings with 2 weeks to go.
Well, and that's good. It's also bad. Playoffs. If you're a tri-champion, not an undefeated champion, you will not get a really great seed.
Yeah.
And what you saw last year, that means somebody from the East is coming. The Beast from the East is coming. And we know that football over there is at a different level than it is here. You might host, but you're going to play an Appleton North or somebody like that. And you might even play at Kimberly.
Yep.
Because, you know, they got beat by Fond du Lac, and they still got to play Nina. Mm-hmm. And that could be another loss. So you could be looking at a 7-2 Kimberly team coming over to visit you.
It's scary to think about.
That might be colder than Friday's weather.
Exactly right. DC Everest is heading to the playoffs. Evergreen's got a big road win at Hortonville, 16-3. We know Everest is going to the postseason because they'll get a forfeit win this week against Wausau East, so they will have the number of conference wins to get into the postseason. Jack Babinski, 7-13, only 41 yards, a touchdown. Caden Bankston, 11 rushes, 49 yards. Offensive numbers were not great for Everest. The defense really did the job, forcing turnovers, holding the Polar Bears to 3 points. But Everest did what they needed to do. They needed this W, and they got it.
Well, though, they did the thing that's been consistent in their winning, is they didn't make a lot of mistakes. Turnovers, they took advantage of turnovers. Mm-hmm. If they wouldn't have those turnovers, it was a short field for them. They didn't have to do much. And then the defense did what I thought the defense needed to do, didn't give up big plays. And if you do that, you got a chance to put yourself in a chance to win, and that's exactly what they did.
It's hard to believe. Four teams from the Valley Football Association already have clinched, so we know there's going to be four teams. The big question that need to be answered will occur in a couple of weeks, but they've got there. Now they're going to have to all, I think, lift their games in the next couple of weeks to be ready for level one.
Well, and I'm not trying to sound morbid or anything, but if you haven't been working on your weaknesses, week 8 and 9 is not really going to help you much. You've got to be figuring out, what is it I need to build to get me that playoff win, get me a deep run in the playoffs, win the conference championship. If you're worried about it on a Tuesday of a game on a Friday, you got problems. And I'm not trying to sound offensive, but
exactly
you're going to see it in level one. Mm-hmm. We're going to have problems.
Great Northern Conference, Merrill. They are close to securing a playoff berth themselves. Blue Jays win their third league game, knocking off Hayward 28-6. Nathan Bozanowski had 26 rushes for 211 yards, 3 touchdowns. Hayward just 78 yards of total offense. Again, good win for Merrill. They're doing what they need to do. And we talked to the coach around the first week of the season. Merrill's done a nice job this year, haven't
they? He committed to running the ball. He's done that. Now, he hasn't played some of the big dogs yet. That's coming. But he's committed to run the ball. And you can see the program has taken steps to get better. He's the third best team in the GNC. And now, granted, that's better than being the last place team.
That's right.
And he said that. He said, we're taking steps. We want to solidify the offense more. Their offense has been better. It's been a run-type offense. Mm-hmm. And the defense has played okay. And so this is why they're going to be a team that is possibly going to get to 6-3, 5-4, and possibly, you know, get to the next level.
And the process is win the games you're supposed to win.
That's right. And if you can upset somebody, that kind of shows your program is going. And you know what? The door's still open. If they can win again, and then they face, you know, one of the big dogs at the end there, I mean, who knows? You could shock somebody.
Mosinee shuts out Antigo 42-0. Gavin Obremski, 14-20 passing, 202 yards and 2 touchdowns. Davin Stoffel, 6 catches, 63 yards and a score, 116 yards of total offense for Antigo. Mosinee did the job. And they've been playing consistently solid football in the last number of weeks.
It's been the defense that's gotten better. And they're going to need that because Friday when they play Medford, it's going to be, you know, tackling, shedding blocks, things like that. I mean, offensively, they've become efficient. And they've got talent. You know, you get the hands and ball of Stoffel and Jersley, and you got surprises. But the biggest thing I've seen improve in Mosinee is their defense. They've become a better tackling team. They've become a better run-stop team. They've shut teams out. Now, you can say what you want to say, but when you shut somebody out, you're doing something right.
Absolutely. Doing a lot right as well is Medford. Medford rolled Rhinelander 66-0. It was 54-0 at halftime. Logan Baumgartner, 4 of 6 passing, 113 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 carries, 2 touchdowns, 79 yards. Peyton Gillis, 8 rushes, 136 yards, 2 touchdowns. Rhinelander, like Antigo, 116 yards of total offense. Medford has been dominant in the conference.
Well, the thing that's impressed me with Medford is how more balanced they've become. Yeah. And what I mean by balance is they're not just feeding one runner. They've got three that are running the ball. And Baumgartner is so efficient. He's got a quarterback rating of 117. He had 11 touchdowns, only throwing through like three picks. He's very efficient, and that's scary for Medford, because to stop Medford, you've got to create a different defense, and that leaves the passing lanes open, and Baumgartner's been able to take advantage of it.
Lakeland, big win for the T-Birds. They will be playoff bound. They come from behind to beat Ashland 42-34. It was a 16-0 Lakeland edge in the fourth quarter. They were trailing 34-26 after three quarters. Marcus Cruzon had a big night for Ashland. Four catches for 220 yards. That's more than 50 yards per catch for Ashland. But in the end, Lakeland, who's been playing some pretty good football after a slow start, they've worked themselves into the top three of the conference, and they are playoff bound.
Well, and this is where we thought they'd be. We thought they were the third best team in the league. And it's between them and Merrill. I mean, if you probably play 10 times, it's 5-5.
No, Lakeland's much better than Merrill.
Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb there. They showed it on the field.
Yeah, they did.
By a significant margin in Merrill. So yeah, I think you have to give them credit for that. And I think they're a more veteran team, and I think they're further along in the process than Merrill is. I think Merrill is on the upward slope, but they still got a little bit of work. And I think that Lakeland, they just got off to a slow start. You're now seeing that they're kind of an explosive team, offensively especially.
Well, I think they're playing like the kin, but I still stand by the fact that if they play each other, Merrill's going to beat them a few times. I just do that. I just believe that. The point I'm trying to make is that you're right. They are getting better, but that's kind of where we thought Lakeland would be. Mm-hmm. We didn't think Merrill would be in that echelon, but they're there.
Merrillwood Conference, Colby knocks off Marathon 35-14. Tevin Rue, 9 rushes, 159 yards, and a touchdown for Colby. Caden Healy, 19 rushes, 126 yards, 2 touchdowns as well for Colby. Tough night for quarterback Cooper Huxema for the Red Raiders. 8 of 25, 115 yards, a touchdown, and 3 interceptions. And Colby did a nice job of keeping Matt Annis in check. Annis, the outstanding rusher for Marathon, 11 carries, 50 yards for the Raiders. There was a point in that game in the first half where it looked like Marathon got a stop, and apparently, and I was listening to the broadcast on our other broadcast, and there was a bit of a questionable penalty that on fourth down that took away an interception, and then they scored a touchdown. And against a team like Colby, you have to have everything go right, and it didn't quite all go right for Marathon.
No, I think actually Marathon did a better job moving the ball than I thought they would do. Colby hasn't played well. Ever since they beat Edgar, they just haven't played well. They've had a few injuries and had to shuffle people around, but I just would have thought they would take it to the next level like they did on their state championship run, and I don't see that right now. And I'll tell you, that Auburndale-Eagle game coming down the road is going to be a big one.
And speaking of Auburndale, they just consistently, they have taken care of business in a big way. And they knocked off Abbotsford 49-6. It was 42-0 at halftime. Trayton Weber, 4 carries, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns, 253 yards on the ground for Auburndale, 9.4 yards per carry. Christian Fuentes, 13 rushes, 105 yards for Abbotsford. The thing about Auburndale's 7-0 start is that, of course, they do have their two toughest games coming up, but they have dominated every week.
Well, and they've gotten better. You call it domination. I see it. They're just more efficient. This is a team that is scary because they do have nine players that have played a lot of varsity football, and they're good athletes. Mm-hmm. And they haven't had any injuries. This has been a really thing for them. So, yeah, they've got the two tough. But I think those games are going to be great games.
And Edgar defeats Pittsville 28-8. Carter Butt, 9 rushes, 115 yards, and a touchdown for Edgar. Jake Hardinger, 6 of 12 for 112 yards, a touchdown, and 2 picks for Pittsville. Number one, Edgar does what they need to do, but Pittsville's been very competitive in the Merrillwood this year.
Again, they had young players. These players are now juniors. Yeah, they've been a team, and I think watch out for them next year. They're going to be a team that's going to be even more competitive. Second-year coach.
Yep, exactly. So, I mean, the Merrillwood from top to bottom is a really good conference.
Yeah, it's a conference you would not want to play.
I mean, if you look at some conferences, you're lucky to get 1, 2, maybe 3 good teams. But every game in the Merrillwood conference is a very competitive team that you'll be facing. And when you see a team like Abbotsford, who got off to that 4-0 start, who struggled big time recently because they're playing really good competition.
Yeah. I would say that you're absolutely right. The Merriwood right now is a conference that is a powerhouse.
Exactly. It's really, 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 really good. We got to take a quick break. We got some other conferences and then eight player as well to talk about. Again, we will have a couple of guests coming up. Kyle Stoffel, the first-year head coach of the Mosinee High School football team, coming up at about 6:40. And then at 7:06, the Wausau West junior running back and defensive back, also a solid hockey player as well, Ray Reinick. So there's still plenty to come. And then, of course, after that, we'll look ahead to week number eight, the penultimate week of the regular season in high school football. He's Paul Davinsky. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. With Paul Novinsky, I'm Chad Holmes. We are recapping week number 7 of the high school football season from last week. And we have got through the VFA, the GNC, and the Merriwood. Now the CWC large, and is the honeymoon over for Wauwega Fremont? They had a rough one last week, 52-8. Stratford knocked off Wauwega. Stratford, 34 rushes, 373 yards as a team. Kohler Kilty, boy, he has been consistently excellent for Stratford this season.
Yeah.
15 rushes, 170 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Tigers, you say a lot about the teams that are getting better. It looks like Stratford's getting better.
They are. Much improving, but here's the other thing that's happening. First-year coach, new offense, new defense. All of a sudden, now you've seen several games on them. They can't trick you. They can't manipulate you. And I think that's because they were running spread offense.
Right.
That a lot of people in that league aren't used to. I still think they've taken some steps in their program, but obviously not the steps that a team like Stratford. Stratford is, especially defensively, they're pretty good. They're even passing the ball more efficiently,
mm-hmm.
which I think is, they're starting to run bubble screens. I know Coach Martins, Mr. Lehman over there have taught him about the bubble screens, and I think that's going to open things up for them. You've had to load the box to stop Stratford.
Right.
And now the passing lanes are going to be there.
I mean, when you have Kilty, that's the number one target, and that does allow a lot of other things to be put on the table if you're Stratford, yeah. and they're being very effective right now, and they are looking like a team to beat, and they have the big one coming up in a week's time.
And my brother officiated that game, and it was at Beale Stadium, and he just said that Stratford was physical, and they play well at homecoming,
mm-hmm.
and it was their homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some teams you don't want to play at certain times.
Amherst is playing well as well. They shut down Nakusa 38-0. Matthew Gladowski continues to put up good numbers for the Falcons. 9 rushes, 156 yards, and 3 touchdowns on the ground. 2 of 5 passing, 71 yards and a touchdown through the air. And Amherst, again, just winning in the CWC large.
Well, they're getting better. They got some players back. That quarterback manages the game well. Defensively, they're solid, but they haven't been blowout wins. I mean, they've had to work for it. But you knew look how many state championships they've won, where they've been. Their coaches have been down this road before, and they are now manipulating things to... I mean, that last game of the season is going to be a barn burner.
Mm-hmm. Wittenberg-Burnhamwood gets a much-needed win. They defeat Shiocton 34-19. David Goderman, huge night for the Chargers. 25 rushes, 204 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Big back, big numbers, and he's going to be a very difficult task for anybody when Whitburn gets into the postseason, maybe on the road early on after a couple of conference losses. Their quarterback, Nathan Wapikine, was 8 of 13 passing, 118 yards, 2 touchdowns, 12 rushes, 89 yards as well. Kate Stingla, nice night for Shiocton, 23 rushes, 157 yards, and 2 touchdowns. But you talk about teams with a couple of conference losses that nobody's going to want to face. It's Wittenberg-Burnhamwood.
Well, again, the Central Wisconsin's a tough league. The one thing I'm happy with Goderman is he got a little dinged in the Stratford mm-hmm. game, and he seems to be healthy now. And again, Wittenberg has not backed down from competition.
No, they have not.
So, and again, they got some losses. They'll probably not be seeded. but you would not want to be the fourth seed team that has to play them.
Absolutely not. And Manawa in a thriller edges Spencer Columbus. Game was played in Spencer. That was the Spencer homecoming, 20-18. And Spencer Columbus scored a touchdown with 25 seconds left in the fourth quarter, but missed a two-point conversion that could have forced overtime. And the two-point conversions were the difference, as both teams scored three touchdowns, but Spencer Columbus was 0-for-3 on the two-point conversions on the night. Sullivan Melander had 21 rushes, 142 yards, and two touchdowns for Spencer Columbus. They had been whipped up pretty good in recent weeks. It was good to see them have a chance to win. It was a very good high school football game.
It reminds me of a game they played like 3 years ago where there was a last-second Hail Mary pass, and they won the game. Mm-hmm. And, that is, you know, so I think you're seeing that those low-bottom games in the Central Wisconsin Large mm-hmm. are competitive games.
Yep.
That conference is a solid conference, and I think you're just it's going to help the teams at the top when they get in the playoffs. I think Manawa is could be creeping up on playoff eligible.
So that was a huge win for them last week. CWC Small, Assumption 58, Loyal 12. It was tight at halftime. It was 20-12 Assumption at halftime, but a 32-0 third quarter edge for the Royals. Nick Lieberg, 10 rushes, 140 yards, and two touchdowns. Joey Moyer, 9 rushes, 126 yards, two touchdowns, 385 yards, 12 yards per carry as a team for Assumption, who, like a few of the other teams we talked about, may have had a little bit of a slow start, but they have really hit the accelerator in the middle of the season.
Yeah, this was kind of a hiccup to them a little bit because, again, I made the reference with Colby that you can kind of sense which teams are really pushing it, and you could see they're peaking. And this was a red flag for me with Assumption because I thought in the beginning, I'm like, wow, you should be playing better. And then they started playing out of their mind.
Right.
And then so they got some things to pick up here a little bit.
Iola Scandinavia making a late charge, trying to get back to the postseason playoffs. They shut out Rosholt last week, 49-0. Parker Gullickson, 13 rushes, 113 yards, and a touchdown. Ryan Camphart, 8 rushes, 98 yards, 3 touchdowns for Iola. They suffered in those crossovers. They took some real hits, gave up incredible amounts of rushing yards in those games. But that's I'm really impressed with how the coaches must have kept that team together because those were two rough nights they had, and they've come back and they're playing some good football.
And I think they only have 4 or 5 seniors. I think they are playing a lot of sophomores. So that really shows that those kids have the resilience that they have. Give up 600 yards and then shut somebody out. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, they give about 1,100 yards in a two-game
span.
Did. And yet they've come back and they played really good. And you love to see that.
I mean, it does say a lot for their program, their coaches, and their players.
Stick-to-itiveness.
That's right. Totally.
One of the great things about football, playing high school football, that you get knocked down, you get back up, and you keep playing.
That's what sports teach you, Jay.
Exactly. And Pacelli, they got a forfeit in the conference, and they knocked off Kingdom Prep Lutheran in a non-conference game Saturday, 40-14. Brock Bierenkot, he's had a nice season at running back.
Very nice season.
Yeah, 22 rushes, 161 yards, and two touchdowns. He now has 891 yards on the season, 10 touchdowns, so he's in a good spot to maybe even this week get to 1,000 yards on the season. And Pacelli, they're still there. They got a chance. They got a big game coming up this week that we'll talk about, but they're still hanging around.
He's a better linebacker, too. He's really a good tackler.
One team that's started fast but now has faded a bit is Tomahawk, and they fell to a really good program, Coleman, 36-0. That conference, again, is a really good – we're seeing it because the way that Tomahawk played against those GNC teams in the non-conference portion, once they've gone to the conference, it's been much more difficult.
Well, and again, Sam Hernandez told us, said, watch out for the Northwoods, and you could see that. And Cribbets and Coleman are very good football teams. My brother's officiated a Count of Falls game, and he said they're very solid. So, it looks like Tomahawk may not make the playoffs. I think if they don't win the next two games, they're for sure out.
Isn't it ironic that teams like Tomahawk and Northern Pines left the Great Northern Conference and now they're in a tougher conference? There's an irony to it,
Chad,
I would think.
You know, that's the one thing that I've always thought life is about change. And some's good, some's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to change with it. And football's a thing that teaches you that. Tomahawk's program is on the rise. They went into a different conference, and maybe there's a little regret.
But the thing about it as well is you see the things that they got better at, and now they're seeing things they have to still get better at. And Coach Hernandez, and I'm sure everybody in that program is taking notes. I mean, where do we have to get better at? Because no matter what happens here, you know, they've still taken strides forward, and they just know that there's a little bit more work to do to get to that next level against programs like Coleman.
Oh, totally. And Coleman's they beat Regis last year. Quality team.
Yep, absolutely. Eight player last week. Newman Catholic stays undefeated, the number one ranked team in the state. They defeated Marion Tigerton 49-0. Again, not a lot of action at quarterback for Connor Crock as the Cardinals took charge very quickly, but he was a perfect quarterback rating, 158.3. He was 9 of 11, 148 yards, 5 touchdowns. So 5 touchdown passes on 11 attempts for Connor Crock. He's had some big games in recent weeks. Thomas Bates doing the damage through the air. Again, he's been a real weapon in the pass game for the Cardinals. 4 catches, 51 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Ben Hardesty in that tight end for an injured Eli Gustafson at 3 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown for Newman. The offense has been great. The defense has been great. The thing about it is, and I think just from the outside, the Cards have not been tested. They've had running clock every week this season. As you know, as much as you love that, boy, when you get to deep in the postseason playoffs, you kind of like to have been tested at some point.
Well, I know you feel that way, but I think these seniors have been tested for the last 3 years.
Sure.
You know, my question mark was the defense, and they've answered that like week two. granted, anything can happen, but I just think that they're so unique in what they do. They have so many weapons, and the defense is playing just lights out. And you could say who you're playing. Yeah, you'd like to see somebody a little bit more physical, but I think they'll adjust rather quickly.
And you're right. The game may not have been close, but they faced the then number 4 ranked team in the state, Wabino Leona early, dominated both offensively and defensively. These kids were on the field for that Gilman playoff game last year.
They were.
So they know what pressure is about.
The only concern I would have with them is if one of the key pieces gets injured. The quarterback is just very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
The running back is a beast, great defensive guy. You're not going to tackle that guy. You got to have two guys to tackle him. Nobody one-on-one is just going to totally bring him down. The only thing that could stop them is themselves.
Right. Port Edwards in the Central Conference, they're right there in the playoff race as well. They defeated Tri-County 44-6. It was actually pretty tight until the fourth quarter, but a 22-0 fourth quarter blew the game open for Port. Timmy Tranel, 7-10 passing, 131 yards, 4 touchdowns, 14 rushes, 108 yards, and a touchdown for Port. When you're in a conference with Newman, you know, you want to take care of business outside that game, and that's what Port is doing at this point.
They had to win out to be the second-best team and possibly sneak into that playoff position, and that's what they're doing.
And Almon Bancroft defeated Boulder 60-12 as well. CWC East, this one actually, not that Thorpe won, but the score. They went on the road to Athens, and Thorpe defeated Athens 70-0. Aiden Rosemeyer, 6 of 7 passing, 146 yards, 4 touchdowns, another perfect quarterback rating, 4 touchdowns, 7 passes, averaging over 20 yards per attempt. He also had 6 rushes for 102 yards and a touchdown. Logan Hansen, 9 rushes, 160 yards and a touchdown for Thorpe. And the thing about it as well, 86 yards of total offense for an Athens squad that has some talent.
Yeah, they're just physical. You know, I mean, the Rosemeyer kid's really good, but the rest of the team and, you know, that Owen Withy game is going to be a barn burner.
We'll talk about something else later. Okay. Owen Withy, they almost got to 70. They ended up at 67. 67-0 over Greenwood. Owen Withy, 48 rushes, 410 yards as a team. Colin Dahlman, 17 rushes, 140 yards, and 3 touchdowns as well. Trayton Tesmer, 11 rushes, 126 yards, 2 scores, 45 yards of total offense for Greenwood. Owen Withy, just like Thorpe, they're just they are cutting through, and they're leaving a lot of damage in their wake right now.
And it would be nice to see Newman play those two teams, but, you know, and I just don't – that's not going to be possible.
No, it's not.
No. They're good quality teams.
Gilman is still right there, though. They only had the one loss so far this season. They defeated Alma Center Lincoln 58-14. Gilman, 31 rushes, 377 yards as a team. Grady Kreplin, 5 rushes, 152 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Gilman will be tested this week. But they're still a very solid football team.
They're very, and they're going to be playoff. They're playoff eligible.
They are the team from that conference. The top two teams right now are, unfortunately, I kind of want to discuss that a little bit later on.
But I do want to make one reference to the Clover Belt. Regis pretty much secured the Clover Belt victory by beating Mondovi, which I thought, Mondovi's a good quality team, but boy, Regis must be a powerhouse. Mm. They beat him by like 24.
Mm.
Yeah, it's... I don't looking good for the rest of the people. They're definitely legit. I didn't get a chance this year to see them. I can't go this Thursday. They play a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because of Carson Park.
Right, right.
And I usually can get over there because it's impressive to see him play.
Mm-hmm.
And Xander Rocco's back. He had surgery in like June, and he's back playing. Minnesota scholarship kid. He's a very good player. I just didn't think he'd come back, and he's back.
So scary stuff for anybody facing them the rest of the way. We'll talk about week 8 of the high school football season coming up a little later in the program, but our next two segments will involve our guests for this week. After the news at 7 o'clock, at 7:06, we'll be joined by Wausau West running back and defensive back Ray Reinick. But coming up next, we'll be speaking to the head football coach of Mosinee High School, Kyle Stoffel, as they get set for a massive game on Friday night when they take on Medford. So Coach Stoffel of the Mosinee Indians coming up next. This is the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. It's that time of the program where we talk to our special guests. Again, coming up in just a little bit, our student-athlete guest at 7:06, Wausau West running back and defensive back Ray Reinick. But right now, it's time for our coach guest for this week, the first-year head football coach of Mosinee High School, Kyle Stoffel. And Coach, first of all, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us on a big week.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
First thing I want to say to you is you're a first-year head coach, and I thought we were at the era where anybody who's a first-year head coach would never have a tie on their overall record. You're the only coach, I think, that's going to be a starting a head football coach that had a tie, because you had a tie earlier this year. But going back to the beginning of the season, you had a couple of really good opponents to start off your campaign. How important was it to play some good competition early to be playing the kind of football your team has been playing recently?
Well, I think that was huge for us. Not exactly the way I expected to start my career with a tie, but I guess I got that out of the way early. But no, playing Stratford and Racine Cats, both very good teams, and we came in a little inexperienced, and that helped us out a bunch as far as preparing for our conference season.
Coach, this is Coach Novinsky. Hey, what's been the biggest adjustment for you going from the defense coordinator position to being the first-year head coach?
The biggest thing is just all the additional things that come along with being the head coach. Obviously, the game planning hasn't changed really as far as the defensive coordinator part goes. It's just all the additional stuff, the paperwork, the scheduling, the disciplines, the dealing with your athletic director, your principals, your teachers. That's just been the biggest thing, is all the additional things that come with it.
How difficult is that? Because when we talk to coaches who are rather new, you've been around it, obviously, for quite a while. How difficult is adding all of that to the coaching aspect, the interpersonal communications with your kids, having all that other stuff, having the text or the calls, having the paperwork, having anything else? Has it been more difficult, less difficult, about as difficult as you thought it would be taking over?
It's been about as difficult as I expected. I've been fortunate to work with my brother in the past, who was a head coach, and I kind of get an idea of what he went through. He'd been to me, so now I have him there to vent to or to ask, you know, what to do in certain situations. Luckily, I have a lot of free time usually during the day to take care of any paperwork or emails that I have to answer. So it's been about what I expected.
Coach, let's focus in on your team. You know, You know, the one thing that stands out to me right now is really with run pass, you're pretty balanced. You're about 60% pass yardage and about 40% run yardage. Is that kind of by design?
Yeah, that was one of my main goals coming into this season, is to just be more balanced, to keep defenses honest. We have a lot of talent in our skill positions, so it's we've been fortunate that we've been able to spread the ball around. You know, throwing the ball to Davin, using Keegan as both a pass receiver and a runner. Gavin does a great job of throwing and running, and you know, Barnes and Wyatt have been doing a great job of running the ball. So, yes, that was the plan going in, and so far it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, let's talk about Abramski, first-year quarterback. He's thrown for over 1,500 yards. He's rushed very well, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I mean, you've got to be very pleased with a kind of inexperienced guy and how he kind of got up to speed.
Yes, I knew coming in that we had a very good athlete in Gavin. Tremendous athlete, strong arm. We needed to make sure we turned him into a quarterback, you know, a good thrower of a football, and taught him how to read what we needed him to read as far as on, you know, the offense, when to give, when to keep. And he's picked up on that very quickly. He's throwing the ball well, and he's making good decisions as far as when he should keep the ball and run with it.
Again, we're talking to Kyle Stoffel, the head football coach of Bozeny High School, here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. It's pretty amazing looking at your receivers. You knew coming in, because both Davin Stoffel and Keegan Jerschley had outstanding campaigns a year ago, that you had two good ones. But to see at this point of the year, 7 games in, they both have the same number of catches with 28. They almost have the exact same number of yards, so 2 yards apart, 588 to 586, so one at 21 yards per catch, one at 20.9. Davin has had a few more touchdown catches, but to have a couple of receivers that are at that level, to be, you know, where a defensive coordinator or defense on the other side has to be so concerned, really a great gift to have as a coach, isn't it?
Oh, I was pretty blessed coming into a pretty talented group. Not only are they talented, but they work hard and they put in the time. And, you know, unfortunately for them, their numbers are probably going down a little bit this year with our trying to run the ball more. But, yeah, they're doing a great job of getting open. And a lot of times, most of the time when they do get the ball, they're putting touchdowns up for us.
Coach, focus on the defense a little bit. You know, I was at that Stratford game, and, you know, Stratford ran the ball pretty well on you. It seems like in the last 4 weeks, you've really shored up that run defense. You guys have shut teams out. You kind of held them in check. Has that been a big emphasis the last 5-6 weeks, just to make sure people can't run the ball on you?
Yeah, that's been, after our first 2 games, that was probably our biggest weakness, was stopping the run. So we made some changes up front defensively. We took a couple guys that don't play offense and focused on just getting them up front on our defensive line. So that's really helped us to have a fresher couple of guys up front. We had some younger guys, some inexperienced guys that were playing secondary linebackers. I think they've got more comfortable in what I expect from them and what I need from them. And just as a whole, we've just come together a little bit on the defensive end, and that's helped us.
Had Davin on earlier in the season, and despite the fact, though, you were on staff and a big part of it, there is an adjustment, isn't there? I think people probably don't realize that, even with some experience back and you being an experienced coach as well, that when there is change of any kind, it does take a little time. Did it take more time, or did it come together as quickly as you may have thought it would to get to this point where you're playing basically for a conference championship at the end of the season?
No, I think the kids made the adjustment pretty quickly. You know, I've been here for 3 years previous, so they understand what my expectations were. They understand, you know, how we worked in practice, what I expect them from in practice. Fortunately, I've coached most of these kids in some sports over their careers through Mosney, in youth sports, you know, middle school sports, things like that. So they're pretty familiar with me. As far as the coaching staff goes, we really only brought in one guy that they didn't know, and that was my brother. And they've made the transition to adjusting to him pretty well, too. So it went pretty quickly and pretty smoothly.
Let's talk a little bit about the GNC. You know, obviously you've beaten everybody in the GNC and you got Medford coming up. But what are your thoughts about the Great Northern Conference?
Well, I don't think we get much respect around the state, it's just we're up north here. A lot of the teams that in our division they pay attention to are more down south. I'm starting to learn, you know, more the ins and outs of the conference. I like the conference. I like the schools that are in our conference. For the most part, you know, this year we've been pretty successful against the teams in our conference, but I follow other sports pretty closely, and for the most part, it's good competition.
Good competition indeed when it comes to Medford, and Molesny has been very good in recent years. Medford has been very good, and what Medford has done so far this season has really stood out. They've got a terrific quarterback in Baumgartner, got multiple running backs. Their defense has been solid. What's it been like this week getting ready for the Medford Raiders? Because it looks like a very steep challenge coming up Friday night.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of a different aspect. You know, when you're going into Medford, that you're going to have to stop the run. Unfortunately for us this year, they've got a very talented quarterback also, and, you know, are willing and more willing to throw the ball, I think, than they've been in the past. So, you know, it's been the focus on up front, you know, staying low, not getting knocked around too bad, flowing to the ball, but we've also had to work on adjusting to when they go to spread and when they want to throw the ball.
Coach, you know, Chad and I off air were talking about it, and I think you and I talked briefly about it. Friday's going to be a different temperature game. Game time temperature, they're thinking, would probably be 38, 39 degrees. We haven't seen that. Are you preparing for that?
We're trying. I mean, you try to tell the kids that, you know, it's going to be a little cooler, but until they really do it, I don't know if they understand the difference that it's going to be. Unfortunately, it's probably not going to be too cool, maybe a little bit more tomorrow so they can prepare for it, but try to make them understand that they need, you know, they might need a little extra clothing, make sure they got their gloves, but for the most part, our guys don't come off the field very much, so it might help them, actually, to, you know,
so you're not
cool them off a little, you're not a little bit more than used to.
You're not practicing the school freezer, are you? I mean, having them come out and stuff like that?
No.
They won't let you in there? Okay.
No, it hasn't been offered to us, no.
When you look at the matchups, because it is sort of at times a little bit of the opposites, because Molesny has been such a good passing program for a number of years. Medford has been a great running program, but as you said, you've added a nice aspect of the run. They've added a little bit of aspect of the pass. When you look at the matchups, is there anything in particular that you think your team can take advantage of? Is there an area that perhaps, without sharing any stock secrets, but areas that are vital for your team to be successful on Friday?
Well, I think we talked about it earlier. Our skilled guys, especially Davin and Keegan, we've got some other receivers, and Ethan Denisha and Aiden Shaughnessy, Jerry Street. I think that's our advantage, is that if we can get the ball to our athletes, give them some space to work, that's going to give us the advantage.
It's senior night. It's going to be a big night. It's going to be cool. It's going to be a classic Medford Molesny. If you had to tell me one key to the game, what do you think is going to be a key to the game?
Going in, not only as a head coach but as a D coordinator, I feel the key to us is to be able to get some stops on defense and some turnovers. If we can slow down their run and get our offense back the ball, or cause some turnovers to get our offense back, get the ball back to our offense, that's going to be what we need to do.
One question I want to ask is, this is probably a pretty good time to have this kind of game near the end of the regular season, knowing that you got some big games coming up as well. When you look beyond the physical attributes that your team has and just the general strengths of the team between the lines, what about above the shoulders? Do you feel like this is the kind of team that savors an opportunity like this, will savor the opportunities you have in the next few weeks as well? What is the mental aspect of this squad? Do you feel comfortable that they're going to be able to perform with what's going to be a big game atmosphere?
I do. I think we're ready as far as that goes. Based on the way we've practiced this week, they've been pretty steady. You know, the coaches have been a little more jacked up, and, you know, putting a little more pressure and a little more high intensity. But for the most part, the kids have been handling it great. You know, we started the season with a couple of high-intensity games. Last year, we played some higher-level games, and a lot of those kids that are involved, that are playing now, were involved in those. I feel that they're going to do a great job of calming everybody down, you know, doing what they need to do and letting everybody know that, hey, this is not just another game, but, you know, you got to treat it. You got to go through the same thing, the same mentality, and, you know, just keep it cool the best you can.
We got about a minute, Coach. So.
Well, Coach, remember, this is for the cheese grater. And, I mean, Mosinee Medford have had some classic basketball games and classic baseball games. I mean, this is a big-time rival.
Yes. Since I've been following Mosinee varsity sports here, you know, my son's a senior now, so for the last 4 years, I would say the majority of the big rivalry, high intense, you know, for conference championship types of games have been against Medford. So, yeah, this is a big one.
Coach, good luck to you.
Thank you.
That is the head coach of the Mosinee Indians, Kyle Stoffel. Again, Mosinee getting set for their Great Northern Conference showdown at home against Medford Friday night at 7 p.m. We're going to take a break for the news and then come back after that. Our student athlete guest for this week, Wausau West Warrior Junior Ray Reinick. Again, he has had a 100 yards plus in every game so far this season, having himself an outstanding campaign, nearing some records as well as West also battling for a conference championship heading into their game on Friday against Hortonville. So Ray Reinick coming up at 7:06 right after the news. And then we'll preview week 8 of the season as well, including our game of the week coming up in hour number 2. He's Paul Davinsky. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks again to Mosinee head football coach Kyle Stoffel for joining us. Now time for our student athlete guest for this week from Wausau West High School. Outstanding running back, defensive back, hockey player as well. Junior Ray Reinick. And Ray, first of all, thank you for popping on over after practice today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, let's start off about this season, because when you lose somebody like Colton Gehring, who put up the incredible numbers for Wausau West last couple of years, you're thinking, man, how are you going to make up for that kind of production? You've come in right from practice and watching you in the scrimmage and from the start of the season. It's been just so consistent. What was your mindset going into the start of practice, knowing that if you perform, that you would have this opportunity? Did you have the mindset that you were going to try and grab hold of this position?
Oh, yeah. I just really wanted to perform well, you know. I wanted to continue the running back legacy that Colton left.
Was that the plan coming in? Were you told that you were going to get the opportunity to get the lion's share of the carries, or was it an open competition?
I think in the beginning it was an open competition. I don't think I was leaned on at all, but, like, I don't think at all I was... like, just neglected, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. It was pretty... I think there was three main guys that he was kind of looking at between it and...
Yeah, Chad knows this. I call you Iron Man because you pretty much are on the field. Like, do you ever come off?
Oh, I come off all the time, actually. That's one of my problems. They tried to play me both ways in the Superior game, and Coach says I was hyperventilating on the sideline.
You just play really hard. That's the one thing. I've watched you twice. You just... your motor never seems to stop. I mean, is that pretty much what you want people to see?
Oh, yeah. I would love people to see that. I'm just trying to run hard and just, you know, give her all I got.
And actually, one of the plays that was, I think, indicative of you this season was not a run. It was in the Marshfield game, I believe, where there was actually a penalty on the play, but Marshfield picked up about 65 yards. The Marshfield player was about 10 yards ahead of you, but you got on your horse, and you were able to tackle him at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, I
remember. Could you talk about that? Because it felt like that was indicative of the kind of way that you want to play, that there's no off switch. And that was a play that, you know, there was a flag down, it was coming back. But watching the play from the booth, he was gone. Yeah. He was like 10 yards ahead of you, but you got on your horse and you were able to chase him from behind, make the tackle inside the 5-yard line. I imagine that is the kind of player that you want to show your teammates, your coaches, and the fans at Tom Field.
Yeah, I do. And the funny thing about that one was, you know, I don't play as much defense, so I've been told this, but I wasn't like thinking about it at the time. That was my guy. So like when he scrambled, I was supposed to stay with him, and that's kind of why I chased him down. I didn't know there was a flag, but that was a little bit of the fire that was leading me to chase him down, because he took off and immediately I pushed up and I'm like, wait, that's him. And then he threw it and I had to take off.
How many games have you played defensively?
I think I've gotten in every game at defense, yeah, but I just don't. I don't play a lot of it. I kind of just played when they think they need me.
It must be something to, you know, obviously people knew a little bit about you, but as the season progressed, people must have to game plan to stop you. I mean, just like they did with Colton. I mean, you must say to yourself, fine, bring it. Do what you're going to do. Put an extra guy in the box. Is that your mindset? That I don't care if you put 11 out there right in the box, I'm going to run through them.
I'm just hoping that if they want to focus enough on me, we got plenty of athletes that are going to make plays everywhere else. I mean, Vince is always running hard. And
But they have focused on you, and yet you still have had numerous games where you've had big yardage.
I think it's mutual respect for my quarterback for the, you know, the run pass option, because you were always getting big yards on that. Short passes, I mean, we have good receivers. I think it's respect for all of our athletes on the field, not just me.
Again, we're talking to Ray Reinick from Wausau West High School, junior, running back, defensive back, kick returner as well. 1,370 yards through 7 weeks of action, closing in, I think, around 138 yards away from the single-season rushing mark, and you're closing in on the all-purpose yards mark as well, because you're also a very dangerous kick returner. And I was saying before when you came in here, I remember last year when you were a sophomore, you would be over on the JV field, and they would yell for Ray to come on over when you're practicing kickoff returns, and you'd have to sprint like 150 yards to be involved in the practice. I mean, it shows how, you know, one year you're part of the JV squad in a lot of ways, and now this year you're part of the varsity, but the kickoff returns has been a staple for you for a couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that was the opportunity they gave me last year. I mean, a big one at least, and, you know, I was lucky that they thought I was pretty good at it, so they put me right in the back. So, I mean, I just try to give her my best on those returns.
Let me ask you about that, because you have been very effective. I mean, you seem to have a pretty good knack for finding the opening, using your blockers well. Mm-hmm. Do you use the same skills as a kickoff returner that you do in the backfield when you're running the football?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm just trying to read the hole, seeing where everything opened up. And, you know, we have a plan where it's supposed to hit, so I kind of know where I should be looking for or where I should be looking for.
When we started this season, you know, I told Chad, because I've watched you scrimmage and do things and practice, came to one of your practices, I said the strength of this team is the linemen. And that offensively and defensively, this is some of the best Wausau West linemen I think we've had in a long time. Would you agree with me?
Oh, I would definitely agree with you. I think we have some really tough linemen. I mean, a lot of linemen that were, you know, here last year and we're coming back, they've been playing. I mean, a lot of them, some of them have been playing since they were freshmen, and then bringing up, you know, two sophomores like DeAndre Gillespie. You know, his brother left last year, and I think he's just as good as his brother, who was, you know, always.
Do you feed them candy bars like on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Here's a Snicker bar. Here's a Snicker bar. Are you doing that?
I should start. Actually, yeah. Vince gives out all the cookies to all of our offensive linemen on Thursdays, and I feel bad because I don't give them as much as I probably should.
You should start feeding the love, man.
Yeah.
6-1 overall, 4-1 in the conference, a three-way tie for first place of the Valley Football Association. As you've looked at the season so far, what's been the highlight for you personally and maybe for the team generally? Maybe the highlight so far in the first 7 weeks?
The Rapids game. I mean, that was a big one. They lost to us last year. I mean, we lost to them last year. And then, you know, we were down at halftime, but, you know, we rallied back and it's been one of my better games, so I mean, a big highlight for me, and I think it's a big highlight for the whole team.
Do you look at it, because that night you had yourself on one side, and then you had Leo Brostowitz on the other side, who has been just an incredible performer for Wisconsin Rapids for a number of years. I know that, you know, when you're on the field running the ball, he's not on the field running the ball. But at the same time, is there a personal challenge that you have against really good opponents like Leo Brastowicz?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remembered him from last year, you know, getting a bunch of attention because he ran so well last year. And he's a really good running back. So I knew he was going to be the tough one to stop, especially since he was coming back. They said he was full strength. So I knew that was going to be our, you know, our biggest challenge is him.
Mm. Yeah, let's step away from football for a little bit. Obviously, you play multiple sports. You're a good hockey player. Do you play anything in the spring?
I tried golf my first year, and then I went over to track last year.
You don't use a hockey stick there. You know, you're Adam Sandler, are you?
No, I do not use a hockey stick at golf.
What's your favorite class?
I don't even know. I don't really like school.
Which one do you like? So school's not a... I mean, do you have any class you like to go to?
I mean, there's some, like, classes, I guess, with more of my friends I would like to go to. So okay. Math class, I got a lot of guys in there right now. So that's not a bad class. I like the teacher. And then gym class is also a favorite.
What besides sports, do you have any hobbies you do? Do you hunt? Do you fish? Play video games? Anything?
I used to play video games.
But nothing? I mean, no hobbies?
Not really.
When you look at, you had an opportunity to be a pretty big cog on the ice last year. Did the ability to be a significant performer in hockey help you step into a significant role here in football this year?
Yeah, I think the varsity time that I was given helped me, like, understand more of what speed I'm going to be playing at. And then, you know, they gave me the opportunity earlier, so it just helped me develop a little bit more before I got an opportunity at football.
Does the physical play of hockey and football it just seemed to go together?
Yeah, I mean, especially I try to be a little more, my dad might not agree with this, but I try to be more physical in hockey. But, you know, I think
dad
it
doesn't think so, huh?
No, he doesn't think I
are you guys,
hit enough.
Are you guys putting the equipment on? Got a little ice in the back of the yard going at it?
No, I don't think he could take that.
Yeah, okay.
We're
just wants you to play on.
Yeah, he just wants me to hit more people.
Again, we're talking to Ray Reinick from Wausau West here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXEO. I'm sure your coaches are not listening, but do you have a favorite sport?
Yes.
Which one would it be?
Football. I do love football.
Why football?
I don't know. I guess my dad, he played football. He didn't really play high school hockey, so my grandpa was always playing football. I think my whole family I kind of grew up around the sport, and I've been playing it for so long. I don't know. It's just one of those things you just find a love for.
And then, since, you know, you have the family connection with football, when did you start playing hockey, and why did you start playing hockey?
I don't even remember. I started playing really young, and I think it was just my dad. I had family members play hockey, but, you know, he stopped before high school, so I think they were just trying to get me into it.
Yeah, stepping back into football, a few years ago, Wausau West football struggled. You didn't make the playoffs. A lot of people were talking about issues, but it seems in the last 2-3 seasons, you guys, you've really come together as a team. You seem more physical. You seem like you've lifted weights more as a team. You know, I went to one of your summer contact days. The bond just seems to be better than it was 3 years ago. What caused that? What was the changes?
I think our coaches helped us bring us together, but the seniors last year, you know, the grade level with us last year, the seniors there, I think they really encouraged all, like, underclassmen to get in the weight room, and they were, you know, friendly to everybody and always, like, offering anything and just, like, really wanting everybody to get close because it just meant so much to them that they wanted to mean everything to everybody else, too.
Let me ask you about that, because I do think that is a very good answer, because from what I've heard, the leadership council, the off-season leadership meetings have been significant in terms of turning around the Wausau West football program. As a younger player, because you've been one of the underclassmen the last couple of years, you talked about what they were saying, but how much of an effect does that have? How much of an effect has it had in terms of making your team closer? I mean, does it feel like that the off-season work has really been vital in terms of what happens in season?
I do. I think it... you know, all those leadership things that that our coach was holding in the mornings, I think it brought us closer and it helped us, you know, get together at another time, but also, like, taught us how to get people together and how to inspire people into doing stuff that would probably benefit everybody else, too.
The atmosphere around school, and if you go to games, I mean, the student sections are pretty impressive. I mean, it's got to be great. I mean, there's got to be a lot of excitement at Wausau West about sports and school and football. I mean, everybody's got to be looking for Friday Night Lights, saying, let's go to the game.
I mean, I definitely do. It seems like there's a lot of people in the stands, so I hope that they're enjoying the games. I mean,
when you look at the end of this regular season, you got a lot to play for. You got the conference coming up. You got a couple of home games here to wrap up the regular season. You got, I would think, if not the biggest, but one of the biggest rivals coming up next week with DC Everest before the playoffs begin. What are you looking at now coming down the stretch? What's the feeling in the locker room, maybe when even when the coaches aren't around? What are you guys saying? Because you've kind of been there. I mean, last season you were in the same situation where you needed to win coming down the stretch to get at least a share of the conference championship. And also, as you get closer to the playoffs, last season you had a disappointing level one game against a, again, it turned out to be a pretty good football team in Neenah because they may have been a seven, but as we see this season with some of the same players, a very talented group. What's the talk right now as you try to finish off this regular season with another conference championship and then try to make a little damage in the postseason?
I think it's just, you know, focusing up, you know, still giving it all we got, even though it's, you know, it's getting long. But I think it's just keeping everybody's mentality towards winning football games. And Everest is, that's definitely going to be one that, you know, everyone's going to really focus for. Because I remember last year, It was a big game, and I think it's going to be a big game this year, too.
What do you think the key? You got Hortonville, obviously, and they're a team that at times has looked like a really good football team. Both sides of the ball, defense a little bit more than offense, but what do you think is going to be one of the big keys to this game?
Defense shutting them down, definitely, not letting them get, you know, long drives sustained. I think just, you know, getting on offense and, you know, executing everything that we need to execute. I mean, I have no worries for our offense if we can do what the things we need to do, but, you know, mistakes will kill us, and it has in the past.
We ask every one of our student guests this. You know, you're obviously a junior. It's a little different, and maybe this happened to you, but you're walking down the hall, and a freshman comes up to you, whatever, and says, hey, I need some advice. What life advice would you give to a young athlete?
Just work hard, focus, you know. Everything might not look like it's working out right now, but you got to trust your process. And, you know, going down the line, people will see that you're working hard and it will pay off and you'll be able to get whatever you're trying to go for.
Terrific. Congrats on what's been a fantastic first 7 weeks. Hopefully we got, another seven maybe to go, hopefully.
Hopefully.
And then get ready to hit the ice again this winter. But, Ray, again, it's been a pleasure watching you each week on the football field. Looking forward to a Friday night against Hortonville. Best of luck against the Polar Bears, and then best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Good luck.
Ray Reinick from Wausau West, junior for the Warriors, getting set for the big game against Hortonville Friday night. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to look ahead to some big games in week number 8 of the high school football season coming up next. With Paul Novinsky, I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCL with Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Hall of Famer and former Mosinee High School head football coach Paul Novinsky. I am Chad Holmes. And again, in the middle of the show, it's the true meat of our program. We got the bread on top to start things off. We got the bread on the bottom to finish it off. We got the meat, the really good quality meat in the middle with our coaches guest and our player guest every week.
Yeah, you get such insight to what's going on into their lives that you it's almost like one of those 30-30 ESPN things where you finally really start to see what's going on and really get in touch with him rather than just saying he runs the ball hard.
Exactly right. But amazing.
Well, we know his dad wants him to run harder.
Man, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, Colton Gehring put up incredible numbers. Incredible numbers.
Unbelievable.
And you got Ray here. He's averaging nearly 200 yards a game. It's really, like you said as well, it's because they do have a really good offensive front. But Ray Reinick, the thing that's really jumped out of watching him every week, I've had a chance to see every game this season, is he does not let the first guy put him down. He either makes a miss and he breaks tackles. He's not the biggest guy, as you saw. He's not
tough kid.
He's not the biggest guy, but he's able to break tackles. And as we heard as well, he is so dangerous when he on those kickoff returns as well.
I call him Iron Man because that's why. I mean, this he just keeps on pounding and pounding and pounding, and that's why they're successful. Most backs would go down or get injured. He just keeps on going.
And Coach Stoffel's really doing a nice job as well because it's not easy sometimes to come in replacing a very successful coach. Even if you're on staff, you come in, there are going to be some changes, but, you know, they really have played excellent football coming down the stretch, and they're going to be a team to keep an eye on here.
A team that's improved, you know, and Wausau West, too, with their running game. They've improved.
Well,
and Wausau West, the defense is also improved a lot.
And, you know, it's going to be some interesting games here in the final 2 weeks of the regular season as teams are either going for conference championships or trying to work their way into the postseason playoffs. We're already seeing some of these projections being thrown out there and people are looking at them. But the best way to take care of business is to do it between the lines. And let's talk about week number 8 of high school football. Let's start with the Valley Football Association. Let's start off with the game at Gerke Field because significance on two fronts. You got the Marshfield Tigers, 4-1 in conference, tied in a three-way tie for first place in the league. They know they're going to the playoffs. Then you got Stevens Point. Stevens Point needs another win to get to 3, and it looks like 3 should be able to get you into the postseason. Big game for both sides. Stevens Point did get the non-conference win last week. I think a much-needed confidence booster for them. Again, I thought they played some pretty good football against West a couple of weeks ago. They did not let West run away that football game, a 27-17 game. It does look like a Stevens Point team, after some really tough losses early, it's getting a little bit better. And now for the Marshfield Tigers, difficult loss. Homecoming, losing to a rival like Wisconsin Rapids. It's a test to bounce back after a tough loss.
We're going to find out what they're made of. They had something to prove early in the year, being picked to be at the bottom. All of a sudden, you're at the top, and how do you handle it? So we'll see what kind of team they are because it's a rival game again. And Spash has gotten better. They've stuck with one quarterback. He's played pretty well. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right in your analysis. They haven't gone vertically down the field enough, but he's been consistent. And that wide receiver is as good as you're going to find.
Peyton Pumper putting up big numbers with the catches. Used him as a possession receiver, and he's been very good for the Spash Panthers. But Marshfield is Spash. And I know there's some folks who think Spash has that ability to pull off the upsets, and they really do. I think they do.
I think they're going to turn this into a competitive game. And if Marshfield doesn't play well, and again, one of the reasons they lost to Rapids is their quarterback play was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
The games that they won big, adverse in the other games, quarterback play was humongous.
And that's a very interesting point, a very good point, because in the game against Wausau West in the first half, they had like 40-some yards offense. Yeah. Couldn't get anything going. Then in the second half, led by Trevor Femmel, the quarterback who made plays both with his legs and with his arm, mm-hmm. they put up more than 200 yards offense. So again, it was really a tale of two halves. When that offense is moving, they're a very dangerous team.
Remember, Coach Gadel was on our program, said that sometimes he overthinks things. And that's when it's probably not good.
So huge game, Marshfield at Stevens Point. Also in the VFA, Hortonville is at Wausau West. We talked a little bit about that with Ray Reinick. Warriors, again, at home, trying to do it for the second straight year, get at least a share of the conference championship with wins at home in the last 2 weeks. Hortonville is a team that has been defensively really good, and nobody blows them out. They have been in these games. They've had some tough losses, a 23-21 loss to Stevens Point on the road. The game against Pulaski where they had a 10-0 lead, they're going in for more than a block kick. It turned that game completely around. Again, Hortonville is not, the record isn't what they want, but again, they're a very competitive football team with a really good defense.
And they're dangerous because they can do it. And you don't want to be the game that they do it. They get an offensive put out. And West has just got to go take care of their business. Mm-hmm. They got to feed Iron Man. They got to keep the ball under control and play good defense.
Exactly right. So that game off Friday night, Wausau West against Hortonville. You can hear the game live online at BowFallsRadio.com and the Sports Stream 2. I'll have the call from Tom Field starting at 6:40 for the pregame. It will also be aired here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 12:30 immediately following the marathon game on Friday night at Pittsville. And then Wisconsin Rapids, and Rapids, they have put themselves in probably the best spot of the teams in the VFA because their last two games, they got Appleton West at home, and this is actually their last conference game. That's because right. They got a forfeit with Wausau East next week. If they take care of business Friday night at home at Southwood County, they know that they will have at least a share of the conference championship.
Yeah, and they should. And the one thing that's impressed me with Rapids is they're becoming a little bit more diverse. You know what I mean by diverse? They can throw the ball a little bit. They've got, Leo's a beast. And the defense.
And Teo Lucas, the quarterback, has the ability when you fake it to Leo to get some yardage.
And he's been able to throw a few passes. So, definitely. But Rapids is in the best position. And the thing they don't want to do is don't go into coast mode.
Exactly.
You can't be, because that Appleton West running back, he gets loose. He's a good player.
Exactly. He is a dangerous running back. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great Northern Conference. We're going to save because our game of the week is part of it. So we're going to save it to the end. So we're going to go straight to the Merrittwood Conference. And the game that would be the second game of the week.
Tough choice.
It really was. But this one, I imagine that in Auburndale, there has not been a game that's this anticipated on their home field in a very long time. Edgar at Auburndale.
I don't remember the last time Auburndale was 7-0. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's decades, and this is humongous. And that place is going to be packed.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar's going to travel well. The Eagles are going to have all their fans, and I think the Auburndale Eagles, are for real. I think they played Edgar tough last year.
Yes, they did.
In Edgar, I watched some of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the Auburndale players are back. I think this is going to be a barn burner.
The interesting matchup of this one will be the Auburndale offense against the Edgar defense. Edgar's defense last season was the reason they won the game. They forced some turnovers. Yeah. Auburndale actually had the ball in a one-score game in the fourth quarter, and then a turnover led to another score for Edgar. Auburndale's offense has been consistently good this season. Do they have enough to put up 21 points? Because, I mean, you're not going to have to score a lot of points. Edgar's offense is not explosive. Auburndale's defense has been pretty good. But do you think Auburndale has that capability to put up the points to win this game?
I do this year. I think the quarterback play, and Edgar, much like Kobe, runs a type of defense where it's pressure, pressure, pressure. And you get the isolation matchup ones. I think this year, Auburndale has the ability to take advantage of those isolated. They put pressure on the quarterback to make fast decisions and leave a receiver that's got to make a great play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this year, Kobe did it to him. And I think Auburndale could too. Again, I think this is a toss-up game. I might even give the advantage to Auburndale because of being in Auburndale. But I think it's a game I wish I could go to.
Absolutely. Also in the Merrittwood, a vital game for Marathon. Marathon, if they get a W at Pittsville on Friday night, looking at the way that the brackets are lining up in terms of what you need to do to get into the postseason, Marathon, even if they lose next week at Edgar, would have a 3-4 conference mark, and that should get them in. But they have to get this one against a Pittsville squad that has been very, very competitive. Pittsville, I think, going back and playing in the Merrittwood against this incredible competition, moving from the CWC South, CWC Small, where they were, for a number of years, they have been very, very good. They've had a chance to win some games. They had a lead late against Assumption at home. This is an interesting matchup on Friday night.
Well, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, and Marathon's got to go. Marathon has got to do exactly what they did in the games that they won, especially the Abbotsford game. They didn't make many mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Then they played good defense. They're going to have to do it. I anticipate this being a one score, who makes a two-point conversion, who doesn't type of game. Turnovers will be big.
Yeah, Marathon at Pittsville Friday night. Tom Weaver will have the play-by-play right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXEO, starting with the pregame show at 6:30 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. So Tom with Marathon against Pittsville Friday night, right here on your home for the best and most coverage on the radio here in Wausau of high school football, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And the neighbors will be battling as well in the Merrittwood Conference. Very short road trip for the Abbotsford Falcons, but a very difficult road trip for the Abbotsford Falcons. They make the trek to Colby. That's one of those really interesting games every year.
Well, yeah, I talk about this all the time. Colby actually goes through Abbotsford to get to Dorchester, which is part of the Colby School District. Mm-hmm. They know each other well. This is, matter of fact, one of the teachers in Abbotsford is a school board member in Colby. This is a key game for them. It's a rival game. I just think this is an important game for Colby to get that explosiveness back. They've kind of lost their... Defensively, they've been solid, mm-hmm. but offensively, they've lost some of the explosiveness.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I know you as a coach who have prepared teams to get into the postseason playoffs, good football teams. How important is it at this time, week 7, week 8, week 9, to be playing consistent high-level football and not trying to turn on the light switch when you get to level 1?
Well, what happens is, when you go into the playoffs, especially if you're not a seeded team, you're playing a conference championship now. And then you might play another conference championship the next week. So you need to be performing mentally and physically at your highest level. And if you're not doing that, it's hard just to flip a switch on mm-hmm. with 15, 16, 17-year-old to do it. So to me, when I start seeing teams that are doing it now, I feel the confidence that they're going to do it in the postseason, like Stratford.
Right.
Stratford seems to be getting better, better, better. That game against Amherst will be big, but they seem to be getting themselves ready for a deep playoff run.
And Abbotsford, they were a surprise team early. They played really well to start off with the 4 straight wins. It's hard when you've had a couple of shots to the gut like they've had the last few weeks against good football teams.
And they're young. They're not super experienced. And that could be a big part of it because how does that freshman, sophomore, at one point they had a freshman that was running for big yards.
Yeah, yeah, that huge game against Iola.
Yeah. You know, what happens to them? They handle things differently.
Absolutely. So, again, some big games in the mirror. We're going to take a quick break. We got to talk about the CWC large, the CWC small, 8-player football as well. And, heck, we may have time to talk about some issues as well because there are a few to talk about as we have one more segment to go on this Wednesday edition of the Big High School Sports Show. Again, each and every Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m., Paul Novinsky and myself, Chad Holmes. So we'll come back, talk about more of Week 8 action in high school football. Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, quick reminder, Friday night, high school football doubleheader here on Bull Falls Radio. Tom Weaver will have Marathon at Pittsville, 6:30 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff. I will have Wausau West against Hortonville. Pregame show at 6:40, live online at bullfallsradio.com. And the sports stream too, and also on tape delay following the Marathon Pittsville game here on Bull Falls Radio WXCO. Our third game for this week, scheduled for Saturday, won't be happening. We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a moment as we continue to preview the Week 8 action in high school football. Well, the Central Wisconsin Conference Large, right now a two-way tie for first place in the CWC Large, Amherst and Stratford. Wittenberg, Burnhamwood, the only other team that is currently over 500 at 3-2. And that means teams like Shiocton, Manawa, Waiwega, Fremont at 2-3, all looking for that much-needed third win at the very least to put themselves in the mix for a playoff spot. And in the CWC Large, a significant game. Wittenberg, Burnhamwood, home against Waiwega, Fremont. Chargers, as I said, 3-2 in the conference, 5-2 overall. Waiowega Fremont, after a 4-0 start, have lost 3 games in a row. They're 4-3 overall, 2-3 in the conference. We knew looking at the season where Waiowega Fremont at their schedule that it was going to get much, much tougher, and it really has. They challenged Amherst in that game, but other than that, it's been a bit of a rough run.
Well, and again, the program's taking steps. Now, is it taking enough steps to compete with the big dogs? We're going to find out what happens with Wittenberg.
And Wittenberg Burnhamwood again will try to run the table here the last 2 weeks, get to 7-2, and hopefully put themselves in a position for a decent seeding when the playoffs get underway. Battle between a couple of schools that are fairly close. Stratford against Spencer Columbus. Stratford Tigers have been just really, really good recently. They now are 5-1-1 overall, 5-0 in the conference. Spencer Columbus, 0-7 overall, 0-5 in the conference. They played perhaps their best game of the season last week, a 20-18 loss at home against Manoa. But again, for Coach Gorst, there's this. Sometimes you have these seasons where you have to rebuild. I mean, it's just simply put, you lose a lot of for graduation, well, and it's sometimes difficult.
And again, Chad, I think most people don't talk about the W. They talk about the steps to get to the W. And that's, I think, where Spencer's at right now. They need to talk about playing good basic football. And you saw that last week against Manoa. They got fundamentally better.
And that's what you want to see. You're exactly right. Where you go into a game, you're 0-6, and you go out there and you leave it all on the field. You score in the final 30 seconds, have a chance to tie it up. Again, those are the things that are the building blocks for future success.
Well, again, it's steps, and steps with young players, and that's what Spencer has, is you got to worry about, are you lining up right? Do you know the play? Are you fundamentally sound? Do you have a good mindset? And are you getting better at it every week?
And for Stratford, they're just playing really good football. And I imagine that that's exactly what Coach Tubbs wants to keep doing. Yeah. Go out there, do what they do. Kilty has continued to run the football well. They've had some plays outside of Kilty, establishing a bit of a pass. Exactly. So keep doing what they've been doing and continue to take steps forward. Keep the forward momentum.
When Coach Tubbs was on, he said, look, we played two really tough teams non-conference, Mosinee, Edgar. Well, that was great for us. We were tested. We found out some weaknesses, and now we're fixing them.
Amherst and Manoa. Manoa has a winning record. They're 4-3 overall. They're 2-3 in the conference. Amherst, again, they people were wondering, you know, Manoa lost those first two games. You saw them get blown out of their own field in week number two. But since the conference started, they are doing nothing but winning a huge game at Wittenberg. They put themselves in position for another conference championship if they take care of business the last 2 weeks.
They had some injuries. They're getting fundamentally better. But I think, again, these two towns are 12 miles apart. These towns, they know each other. I just don't think Manoa has the horses. That Gladowski is a very good quarterback. He's one of the better option throwing quarterbacks they've had. And they seem to be finding ways to generate some other offense.
Big game for Shiocton. They traveled to Nakusa. Chance for the third conference win for the Shiocton Chiefs. Nakusa with one conference win. They're going to have to win their last two. But for Shiocton, a chance to put themselves in a very good position.
Well, Nakusa's been getting better. Mm-hmm. And Shiocton's got some players. They definitely need to seal the deal here. And I think they will.
CWC Small. And again, this was a game I said before we went on the air. This is sort of our under the radar.
Oh, big time.
Game of the week, because not for conference championship implications, but for playoff implications. The Pacelli Cardinals will be traveling to Iola, Scandinavia. I think it was last year where Pacelli had the big win against Iola. That kind of was really one of the huge wins in Pacelli for the last few years. Iola is now 2-5 overall, but 2-3 in the conference. So they're going to try to wrap up a couple of wins again in the postseason. Pacelli has 2 wins and 3 losses as well in the conference. Iola's really defensively got much better since getting back to the conference.
Well, it's pretty simple. Both coaches are telling, you win, we probably are going to go to the playoffs. You lose, we got one more game left.
Exactly.
And that's the bottom line. And that's kind of what you have to tell everybody. You know, that's how important this game is. This is like our playoff game.
Exactly.
You have to have that mentality.
Rosholt is at Loyal. Loyal 1-4 in conference, 2-5 overall. Loyal, Rosholt, though, has 1 win in conference. It's only a forfeit game. It's been a struggle for Rosholt.
Well, and again, this is going to be two teams that are more evenly balanced. I mean, Loyal's probably the better team on paper, but it should be a good competitive game, a game that Rosholt could build off of.
Assumption. They get the conference forfeit this week against Wild Rose. They take on Webster. What do you know about Webster?
Webster is not a bad football team. They're up north. Western.
A long trek for Assumption, huh?
Well, you found a game, but the thing that concerns me about Assumption is that at this point of the season, they should just be dominating people. Mm-hmm. And they've got some lapses. And It's going to be interesting. How do you handle that long trip? Because that's what will happen in the playoffs. You will eventually, if you, you know, unless you are undefeated, you're probably going on a long trip somewhere. And that's going to be, where do they go? They've got 8 or 9 quality players that have played for 3 years.
Right.
If they can go to Webster and get back on track and just stick it to them, then they're on track. But if they go up there and struggle, yeah, I'm saying to myself, boy, they're not playoff ready.
And the thing about it as well is there has to be that sense of urgency with this group. Because as you said, because this is a program that's going to have its ups and downs. These small schools, they're going to have ups when they have the kind of experience that this team has, and they'll have the downs. When you have the ups, you got to take advantage of it. And I think that's what you're saying. These guys have to grab it by the scruff of the neck right now and play their best football.
Well, you got to know that they may be 3 games away from ending their career. And you got to understand that. And what I mean, I don't mean that winning at all costs.
No, no.
I'm talking about
your best effort at all.
The best effort. There it is.
Yeah, I mean.
What's my mindset? What's my workout thing? Leave it out there.
Leave it on the field. You're exactly right. 8-player. Unfortunately, I was looking forward to being at Newman Catholic on Saturday.
It's going
to
be a tough one.
But they lost the game. They didn't lose the game, but they lost the game. Newman Catholic gets a forfeit win against Boulder Gresham. I'm going to say right out loud, they had a plan to have a game on Saturday, but the WIAA screwed it up. And it's very frustrating for these young guys who have a limited amount of opportunities to be on the field. And they had a chance to play. I'm not going to go on all the details, but I just know enough where they had a plan where they're going to play a pretty good football team and have an opportunity to play on Saturday afternoon, one of these, you know, running out of weeks here. And the WIAA didn't work properly with them, and that's a frustrating aspect. And I feel for the kids who don't get that chance to play on Saturday.
You know my feelings. We've talked off air off of this. When we stop focusing on what's best for kids, I have a problem with it. And I think right now we don't always look at what's best. I mean, the Central Wisconsin crossover games, small with the Merrill, that wasn't in the best interest of kids. That was fulfilling a schedule.
Yep.
And that bothered me because...
The easy way out.
Easy way out. And again, I say this all the time. We have to be proactive. We cannot be reactive. And we've got to start thinking. And there's just so many things that we could talk about. And one of my things I've never really talked to you about, but I'm going to say it now. Obviously, letting teams pick who they could play, you know, that I understand where it comes from. But the other thing that gets me is... not treating 8-man football like it's just as equal as 11-man football gets me in. And then there's more things I could talk forever if we have time. But my biggest concern is, especially with private schools, is that you shouldn't base enrollment on the total school enrollment. You should base enrollment on the gender that they're playing in. I don't know if you're aware of this, but some of these private schools have skewed numbers of males and females. So even though their overall school is a Division V, their male percentage would put them in Division IV. And I don't think you look at it. I'm like, no. Why would you count girls who don't play football? Yeah, they can. But that'd be like saying volleyball, we're going to count all the boys.
Sure.
You can't do that. Because some of these schools, and generally private, some would have 65% males, which is totally, that could be playing somebody, you might have 20% more males in your school than somebody in the same division. And to me, why do we have divisions? Fairness.
Right. Well, the whole point of this was a rather simple decision that could have been made, and beyond getting into the divisional aspects and all that, this was a one-week thing where schools had got together to make it work, and an inconsistent ruling that leads to a no game on Saturday. So that's
they took away opportunities from kids.
Absolutely. Also in the Central Conference, Almon Bancroft is at Port Edwards, and that's actually a very significant game for those two squads.
Well, again, we've picked our game of the week in second, but in their communities, this is game of the week for them. They need to win this, both teams, and for different, you know, obviously different reasons. But Port, if they have won any chance to get there, they've got to win this game, and they got to win it kind of convincingly.
Yeah, they lost the game in the crossovers, and the thing Three Lakes, and the thing about 8-player again that's different than the 11-player. Those non-conference games actually have a much more heavily weighted significance. Where in 11-player, it's
basically, it just echoes my. Why are you treating 8-man different than 11-man? Seriously, why are you doing it?
That is a question that's been asked quite a bit.
Especially when you have close to 70 teams playing an eight-man, more than any other division.
Yeah. Marion Tigerton in the Central at Tri-County. Both schools have been struggling a bit.
But again, a good game for them.
Yep.
A good competitive game.
CWC East.
Ooh.
Big game in this one is Gilman at Thorpe. Gilman, second time this season they've had a road game against one of the big boys of this conference. They went to Owen Withy. And actually, the 30-14 game against Owen Withy is looking better and better the way that Owen Withy has been just smashing teams since then.
Rosemeyer versus Rosemeyer.
I know. And Gilman has had the experience, the big game experience. Thorpe, I mean, again, last week, that you look at that number, you think, that can't be. They went to Athens and won
70-0. I double-checked it.
Yeah.
Some of those scores, you're like, whoa, there's going to be something wrong here.
Yep, Gilman at Thorpe. So that should be a fantastic matchup. If you know, Thorpe is trying to set things up for a winner-take-all showdown in their conference next week, as Owen Withy will be home against Alma Center Lincoln. It's a shame that Owen Withy and Thorpe are not going to be in the playoffs.
It is.
And I know that there are rules, and I know that the rules are set up because they don't want teams sort of cherry-picking their way into eight players, so they say they have to be committed at a certain date. But in this case, Owen Withy needed to make the move. Thorpe needed to make the move. And
Chad, the
playoff would be so much better if they were
in. Again, you talk double standard. If both those programs would have went immediately into 11 men, they'd be playoff eligible.
That's
just not right.
Yep, that is not right. And again, I understand the idea of not wanting to, but you got to be able to use judgment as well.
Well, it's not consistent.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Athens at Greenwood. I think Athens is still fighting to try and work their way into the playoffs. I mean, they've had
a good place to go to Greenwood.
Right, exactly.
Greenwood's really inexperienced.
So Athens needs a W this week to try and keep their playoff hopes alive as well. So that's a look at all the games. Oh, we got to go back to the GNC because we have not gone through the GNC. Oh, man.
We could have talked forever.
I know. Okay, we're going to quickly go through the three games. Merrill at Rhinelander. Merrill, if they get a W, they're heading to the playoffs. Ashland is at Antigo, Lakeland at Hayward. Any thoughts on those before we get to the game?
I think the teams that normally should win will win.
Medford at Mosinee, our game of the week. We got 90 seconds. I'm sorry.
This is a classic game. Yep. You've got two different styles here. You have a run-dominant power team in Medford. You've got a pass team. I think the keys are really going to come down to exactly what Coach Stoffel said. Can Mosinee stop the run game, get some turnovers, get the ball back in the hands of the offense, and score points? I also think it's going to be high scoring.
You said, okay, you've seen Mosinee.
And I've seen Medford.
Yes, and you saw Medford go to Amherst and whip them off their home field. Can Mosinee slow down that run game?
I think
with the addition of Baumgartner's ability to make the big plays,
that's going to be the test. That's going to be the key. This is a toss-up game. It's also at Mosinee. Medford typically has not played as well on the road as at home. And again, it'll come down to, can they stop that run game consistently to put the pressure on Baumgartner and the coach, Ted Wilson, who runs the offense, to make plays that they normally don't make?
If the temperature's in the low 40s, does it make
it definitely affects Medford. I mean, advantage Medford. They'll be able to run ball. They have a running back that's 252 pounds, and he can run. Mosinee's going to have to do a great job of tackling, stopping. They're going to have to do some different things, and special teams will be a key.
I know it's unfair to ask you, Mr. Mosinee.
I'm to 100% toss-up. I think the Auburndale-Edgar game's a toss-up, and I think this game's a toss-up because I just don't see it being one-sided where I see either team could win.
It's going to be a great Friday night. Again, bundle up. First time this year.
Winter's coming.
Absolutely. So it should be a fun one. We'll be back next Wednesday night, again, from 6 till 8 p.m. Thanks to our guests, again, Coach Kyle Stoffel of Mosinee and junior Wausau West running back and DB Ray Reinick. So for Paul Novinsky, I'm Chad Holmes. Thanks for joining us. The Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9, online at bowfallsradio.com and mobile devices.